Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, Text Number 18. Yatha vininitam chitam atmanyeva vatishtate nispriha sarvakarmebhyo yukta ichitate tatha yada when vinitam, particularly disciplined, chitam, the mind in its activities, atmani, in the transcendence, eva, certainly, avatishtate, become situated, nispriha, devoid of desire, sarva, for all kinds of, karmebhya, material sense gratification, yukta, well situated in yoga, iti, thus, uchite, is said to be, tada, at that time. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the yogi, by practice of yoga, disciplines his mental activities and becomes situated in transcendence, devoid of all material desires, he is said to be well established in yoga. Purport. The activities of the yogi are distinguished from those of an ordinary person by his characteristic cessation from all kinds of material desires, of which sex is the chief. A perfect yogi is so well disciplined the activities of the mind that he can no longer be disturbed by any kind of material desire. This perfectional stage can automatically be obtained by persons in Krishna consciousness, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 9:4-18-20. Savaimana Krishna Padaravindayor Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunan Uvardhane Kuro Harir Mandira Marjanadishu Shutim chakara chuta sat katodaye Mukundalingalia darshane drisho Tabritya gatra sparshananga sangamam Kranam jatat pada saroja sorube Shrimat tulasya rasanam tararpitae Pado hare shetra padanu sarpane Shurari shikesha padabhi vandane Kamam chidasye natu kamya kamya yatotama shloka janashrayarati. King Ambarish first of all engaged his mind on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Then one after another he engaged his words in describing the transcendental qualities of the Lord. His hands in mopping the temple of the Lord, his ears in hearing of the activities of the Lord, his eyes in seeing the transcendental form of the Lord, his body in touching the bodies of the devotees, his sense of smell in smelling the scents of the lotus flowers offered to the Lord, his tongue in tasting the tulsi leaf offered at the lotus feet of the Lord, his legs in going to the places of pilgrimage and the temple of the Lord, his head in offering obeisances unto the Lord, and his desires in executing the mission of the Lord. All these transcendental activities are quite befitting a pure devotee. The transcendental stage may be inexpressible subjectively by the followers of the impersonalist path, but it becomes very easy and practical for a person in Krishna consciousness, as it is apparent in the above description of the engagements of Maharaj Ambarisha. Unless the mind is fixed in the lotus feet of the Lord by constant remembrance, such transcendental engagements are not practical. In the devotional service of the Lord, therefore, these prescribed activities are called archana, or engaging all the senses in the service of the Lord. The senses in the mind require engagements. Simpler abnegation is not practical. Therefore, for people in general, especially those who are not in the renounced order of life, transcendental engagement of the senses and the mind, as described above, is a perfect process for transcendental achievement, which is called yukta in the Bhagavad Gita. So the text again, yadaviniyatam chittam atmanyeva vitishtate nisprihaya sarvakarmebhyo yukte ichitate yatada. When the yogi, by practicing yoga, disciplines his mental activities and becomes situated in transcendence, devoid of all material desires, he is said to be well established in yoga. When we hear the word discipline, that implies intelligence. Without intelligence, you can't have discipline. That the planets are moving their orbits with discipline because of the supreme intelligence. Similarly, if we have any discipline, it means that we have to apply our intelligence. Otherwise, no discipline, no intelligence. No intelligence, no discipline. We can see in modern society, people are undisciplined and unintelligent. Because if you're not disciplined, then Maya will take your intelligence away. Undisciplined means whimsical, and whimsical means following the dictation of the mind and senses. And therefore, when Arjuna tells Arjuna, when in the third chapter, when Arjuna is wondering about Krishna's statement about doing your duty, and Arjuna is a person who is not about to do his, who's just about ready not to do his duty. And Krishna says, Shreya Swadamo Viguna Para Dharma Sunustitat. Shre Dharma Nidanam Shreyak Para Dharma Bhavaha. That it's better, Shreyak Swadamo Viguna. Viguna means imperfectly. It's better to do your own duty imperfectly. Shreya Swadamo Viguna Para Dharma Sunustitat. Than to do someone else's duty perfectly. Destruction in the course of one's own duty is better because to follow someone else's duty is dangerous. In other words, Krishna gives us intelligence to do our duty and not to do someone else's duty. If we do someone else's duty, that's called whimsical. And if we're whimsical, that means we're under the control of the modes of nature and we have to take the reactions for that. So Arjuna is wondering, well, why I'm really sincere and I really want to help people and I'm a good person and, you know, I know I'm supposed to do my duty, but, you know, in order for the higher cause of helping people, I don't want to do it. So it must be some good reason, right? Krishna says, because you're lusty. And because of that, you've lost your intelligence. And not only you're lusty, but you're going to become angry too. When you leave the battlefield, people will not praise you and say, oh, Arjuna is such a sweet person. He never wanted to harm anyone. He just trained his whole life to kill people, but he just decided he wasn't going to do it. He's a real nonviolent, exemplary person. We should throw flowers at him rather than arrows. No, people who leave the battlefield, and people will simply chant, Arjuna's a sissy, Arjuna's a sissy. You're not going to get praised. You're going to be criticized like anything. And you're going to probably jump into a fire just so you can stop hearing people criticizing. So actually, if you stop fighting, you're going to become angry because people are going to criticize you. As they say in English, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names get to me after a while. In English, they say, I don't know if they have the same expression here, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can never harm me. They have that in English, at least. You heard that before, Adi Purusha? Yeah, but actually the real saying is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names get to me after a while. People start criticizing me, I just get disturbed. So then Krishna says, because you're bewildered, you're under the control of the false ego, therefore you're just like an animal. That's why you want to leave. You may think, well, I'm a nice person. I should be a Kshatriya, but actually I like being a Brahmin better. But Krishna said, actually, you're just an animal. You're being motivated by lust. You're covered by lust. And you're going to be put anxiety by lust. And what's the root cause? is because of your false ego. Because you've accepted your false ego, because you heard some ridiculous philosophy coming from some Veda or something like that, and you've distorted it, and therefore you've decided to acquire this perverted intelligence by which you're going to carry out your duties under the influence of a false ego. It's bad enough thinking yourself to be a Kshatriya, which is false ego also, but at least you can get out of it by doing your duty. But on the other hand, if you think you're not a Kshatriya, you think you're a woman, or you think you're whatever you think may think you wind up thinking you are, oh, I'm a Kshatriya, oh, I don't like to fight with people, ooh. That's even more false ego. That's even a bigger false ego. You're not even aware of who you are. Therefore, if you want to solve your problem, if you actually want to get your real problem is, rather than running away from the battlefield, Tasmat tvam indriyanyado, niyam yabara tarshava, papmanam pradihiyenam, jnana vijnana nashana. Therefore, in the very beginning, Arjuna, regulate your senses by devotional service and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. So do what you're supposed to do. Externally, you should act like you're supposed to, as a Kshatriya. That's what you were made for. That's what you were trained for. That's what you've been doing. That's your duty. And internally, you should think of me. You should do it ultimately for even a higher cause than a Kshatriya, because the aim of a Kshatriya is to participate in the Varnashram system for Jagavai Vishnu, to sacrifice for Vishnu, and I happen to be the source of Vishnu. So do your duty for Vishnu, but even more than that is because Vishnu is right before you as your chariot driver, and I'm telling you to fight. So you have two things, as a duty to Vishnu and as a duty to the source of Vishnu, who's telling you right in front of you, go and fight. That way you can regulate your senses. And the working senses is superior to dull matter, mind is higher than the senses, intelligence is higher than the mind, and even he, the soul, is higher than the intelligence. Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence, one should control the lower self by the higher, and thus by spiritual strength, conquer the sensational enemy known as lust. So the higher self is, I'm Krishna's servant. I'm not this false ego, and even if you have to act, if you're acting as Krishna's servant, still utilize his body. You desire that Krishna, you become an instrument for Krishna, and his body, his Krishna's body, because his body belongs to Krishna, is utilized for Krishna's purpose. Then you will not only be free from the material modes of nature, but you'll actually make progress towards transcendence. So here, people are they're trying to regulate their senses. Now, as we'll find out, in this process of Sankhya Yoga, the aim is Vishnu. They're not doing it just to get, like Hiranyakashipu, as we're hearing. Now, Krishna is explaining the bona fide yoga system, which culminates in meditation on Vishnu, on Krishna, within the heart, the super soul. And as we'll find out, the super soul and Krishna are one. They're the same person. There's no difference between our super soul and our heart and Krishna. Just like there's no difference between the judge who's sitting on the courtroom wearing a certain uniform with a certain name and with certain duties, like condemning certain people to death and awarding other people a huge amount of money. His name is your judge. But when he comes home at night and he takes off his robes and he puts on his slippers, his wife and children bring his slippers, then he becomes John. He looks different, he has a different name, he has different activities. Now, if in the court, when he had a murder trial, if his child came in and he started to play with him, it wouldn't be appropriate. The child throws him, a soccer ball and he kicks it with his head, he hits it with his head and wait a second, we'll be right back. No, it would be inappropriate. They'd probably fire the person. Now, if he went home, and he condemned his children to death because they broke a window. That would also be inappropriate. he has appropriate dress, appropriate name, appropriate activities, when he's playing different roles. But he's the same person. You can't say John and the judge are different persons. But they certainly look different and they do different things. So the super soul in the heart is the same as Krishna. So that's the goal of the yogis. So that's also Krishna consciousness. And they go about it through regulation, through use of intelligence, and the methodology of using intelligence is laid out in books like the Patanjali Yoga Sutras. So it's an intellectual and intelligent, spiritually intelligent endeavor to control the mind and senses, and so and bring them under the control of the super soul. So Krishna, early in this chapter, has said, yes, they're not going to be chanting my name, but anyone who tries to control the mind and senses for the purpose of self-realization, then the result is that eventually the super soul will be reached. Of course, Hiranyakashipu was also controlling his mind and senses, but in the back of his mind he wanted to become God rather than actually realize God. Of course, he did realize God in a most unpleasant way for him at that time. By his austerity, he brought him in contact with Krishna very intimately, and ultimately cured him of all his material diseases. Did an operation on him, and his material disease was partially cured, at least. Therefore, we should honor the use of the opportunities to utilize our intelligence in the way we're doing it, because as Prabhupada said, it's not possible in this age to sit down in some secluded place and not eat very much, not sleep very much, look at the tip of your nose, which is not quite exciting. Maybe one day they'll have a small enough video set. You can put it on the tip of your nose, you can watch, the internet. But right now it's not available. So looking at the tip of your nose is quite boring. Even if you look at it in a mirror, it would be quite boring. Besides the eye strain that you would have to have for, probably need extra glasses to look at it too long. In any case, it's not possible in this age. There are no sacred places we're going to go to. We're not going to lay kusha grass on the ground and cover it with a deer skin. Where are you going to get a deer skin from? And a soft cloth. And instead, with head and mind, with head, body, neck erect in a straight line, stare steadily at the tip of the nose, unagitated, subdued mind, devoid of fear, completely free from sex life, meditate upon me within the heart, make me the ultimate goal of life. No, it's not going to be done in this age. Maybe there may, probably, maybe a few very rare people in the Himalayas somewhere who have, 500-year duration of life. They make a little progress. So in this age, we're trying to control our mind by engaging in Krishna service. By Sankirtan movement, worshipping the deities, doing deity worship, cleansing the temple, all these activities that were noted by Maharaj Ambarish, that were done by Maharaj Ambarish. Smelling the flowers, tasting the prasadam, these within our ability. But we should do it in devotional consciousness, also with intelligence. We have to develop our intelligence, even in these activities, and not take them for granted that they're just ordinary mundane activities. Because if we think they're mundane activities, then they'll stay mundane activities. And if we think they're devotional activities, then they'll become devotional, and they'll be the cause of our entering onto the spiritual platform of experience. So when we smell the flower, we'll be in ecstasy. And they won't just smell like an ordinary flower, they'll smell like a divine flower. If we have the right consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Wasn't prepared. You have to give him a little advance notice next time.
It seems pretty obvious that Ashtanga Yoga and Hatha Yoga are not that practical, and Bhakti Yoga is extremely practical. So on the face of it, it's very puzzling why in some countries you have thousands and thousands of people dedicating several hours every day to Ashtanga Yoga and Hatha Yoga, even meditation and retreats and so forth. And in the same countries, not many people take up Bhakti Yoga or devotional service.
For now, maybe if we make it more available. But certainly many people have taken up Hatha Yoga and they've gotten interested in things like kirtan. So it's going in that direction. People have become more devotional. They've already exercised their body enough. It's stretched out. You know, they've gained 10 inches. They're as tall as they have to be. So the next thing is expand the soul. Now that time is coming. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, the verse says ni spriha sarve kamabhyo, but devoid of all material desires, perfect yogi. It's said to be perfectly what? Connected in yoga. But there is a verse in second chapter, first canto, that says that we should desire health for practicing probably pure devotional service. But on the other hand, we can also see that Krishna doesn't give health so easily to devotees many times. I mean, if you can comment on this only desire which we should cultivate, but on the other hand, not...
Never said we should cultivate it. Uh-huh. Life, one should never desire material sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life, because that can help one in devotional service. It doesn't say that we should focus all our attention on it. We should focus on the things that will help our devotional service. And if health will help, then we try to get at least a degree of health. But that doesn't, as Krishna says here, it's not such a difficult thing. Become unhealthy takes a lot more effort than to become healthy. You really have to, stress your body and overeat, oversleep. So just a little regulation, you can become healthier.
But what if you're unhealthy to start with? I mean, if you have some disease.
Oh, that's good. Then you can only become healthier. Besides that, if we're feeling stressed, then we'll take shelter of Krishna, especially in this age. So stress, we're only suffering because we've forgotten Krishna. We remember Krishna, there's no suffering. So if you're unhealthy, just remember Krishna. And you won't suffer anymore. You'll perfect your yoga. This is for this niskar and this brihasara karma of yoga. This is for hatha yoga. We're not doing hatha yoga. What's that?
Yeah, I missed that point.
Yeah. But for us, ill health is not an impediment. It actually inspires one even to take shelter of Krishna even more suffering. Then we won't suffer anymore when we take shelter of Krishna, even when we have ill health. Look at Vasudev Dat, or Vasudev the leper. He was so Krishna conscious that although his body was being eaten by worms, if a worm fell out, he picked it up and put it back in the hole in his body. So, externally he may have been suffering, but actually the only suffering really he had was some separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was his suffering. Yes.
Many people have a friend who is for decades practicing devotional service, and he has diagnosis schizophrenia, and he has after this all these years of in my opinion somehow dedicated attempts to connect with Krishna also experiences sometimes severe anxiety and periods of very...
They'll connect with Krishna even more then. If they figure out the only person to turn to is Krishna, that's very good. I remember in Buffalo when we started, we had some people, they were had a mental institution and they were playing the Hare Krishna tapes on it. And so they all became peaceful and some of them came to the temple. So that's good. We'll help. Okay, thank you very much. Gandharva Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.